This is Matthew McGee, and welcome to In the Limelight, a fabulous podcast sponsored by the wonderful people at American Stage. And we're so thrilled to be here again. Jose is not with us, I feel, but he is with us. That sounds terrible, doesn't it? Jose is no longer with us. Jose is still with us. Jose is actually directing a play in Philadelphia, where I think, you know, I think he was there before he came to American Stage. So we're thrilled for him. It's always exciting to see the artists at American Stage going out and about and doing their thing. And I hate to say it again, but Jose, last time we said Jose was a part of Cirque du Soleil. I think many people believe that. He got letters. But but Jose himself actually is directing a play, and we're really excited about it. So he's not here today, but I'm super excited to introduce our wonderful co-host for this show, maybe more, who knows.
Jameer, write in about that too.
I know, write in. If you'd like more, Jameer, after this show, and I think you will, you certainly need to write in and let us know. But Jameer Jenkins is here with us today. Many people will know Jameer's work as an actress, but she's doing all sorts of things right now at American Stage and beyond. And I want to welcome her to the show and maybe hear a little bit about her, because I think for those tuning into the podcast, it's always exciting to learn more and more about our guest hosts each episode.
Thank you so much. That was a wonderful introduction. My goodness. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Jameer, and previously you may recognize me from Joe Turner's Come and Gone.
Yes.
At American Stage, I played Molly Cunningham. Or if you recently saw our production of The Colored Museum, I played Miss Pat, one of the wigs, LaWanda, and, you know, there are like five characters.
There are so many. Yeah, you're playing lots of characters in that show. Absolutely. And then what else are you doing? I know you're working with American Stage in their education department, which is exciting.
Yes, I am. I'm the education fellow. So if you are interested in taking classes or attending summer camp, please look into our programming. We're really excited about bringing new offerings every semester. And so we're getting ready to start our spring classes, but we're already working on summer.
I love that. And you probably, you know, it's like education for you all the time, which is great. I think that's one of the great things that American Stage has to offer, these really excellent programs. And not only for young people, but also for adults.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because adults sometimes think, you know, oh, that's not for me, or I don't need that. But we all need a little bit of development here and there.
You better believe it. And there's actually a listener question that's going to tie into that really soon when we get to those. But Jameer, it's so great to have you here. I think you also were mentioning you've done some podcast work before. I was always thrilled to be asked to host this, because I always wanted to host a podcast, but I didn't want to have to set all this stuff up. And thank goodness they do it all. We just show up. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, because of my podcast, I have to do all the work.
You have to do all the work. I mean, this is like cushy. I feel like Katie Couric coming in here.
When
you're
with the Mariah Carey of St. Petersburg.
Isn't that funny?
You get the grand royal treatment.
You know what's so funny about that joke is I thought that was a great joke for Christmas, because I was everywhere at Christmas. But then when I become the Mariah Carey of St. Petersburg, a friend of mine said, Matt, that is not a compliment. Talking about Mariah Carey and her business. And I said, well, yeah, maybe. But I was thinking about this today. I listened to 90s on 9, because I'm a Gen Xer from way back. And I remember, you're going to laugh at this, but one of Mariah's hits from her first album came on. And I could immediately remember exactly where I was, what I was doing. I had my little compact disc player,
right,
portable, and I was listening to Mariah Carey and have continued. So I love it. I mean, I think I'm not really as much Mariah Carey. I think I look a little more Mariah Scary, but you know, that's a good drag name, actually. But we've got some viewer questions, which, I mean, some of these are getting into it.
Yes, it is.
Of them, I think, is a good question. You know, they're both good questions, but one of them is more about our industry, and another is just about life. And I think we should tackle the industry one first for those fans who listen. But it does say hi, Matt and Jose, it's hi, Matt and Jameer. So I tried out for Moon Over Buffalo at the Carol Wood Community Players. They are naming names. It was my first time trying out for anything ever, and I did it just on a whim. I bombed, and it was genuinely awkward in the room. I don't have time or money to train in theater. Is it possible to have a career, even a small career in theater, without any school or training, just based on talent alone? I mean, LOL. Now, first things first, it is not unusual to bomb at an audition. Every actor has done so. I have to also tell a lot of people, I've been a professional actor for probably 25 years now. I spend most of my time auditioning for film and television stuff through an agent I have out of Tampa, and I basically don't book most of them. Because as you know, as an actress too, Jameer, you're up for so many things. You don't book all of them.
It's a small percent.
It is. It really is. And what's really interesting about it is don't feel bad that you bombed the audition. We've all done it. I've done it many, many times throughout all these years. So it's a very normal thing. So don't beat yourself up too much about that. Sometimes I've bombed things and booked them too. It's just you don't really know.
Because it's a lot of things that go on in production behind the scenes that you have no idea about and that aren't influenced by your talent. It may just be we need a family and this person looks more like a relative to this person than you do, and maybe you're the better person, better actor, quote unquote, but we just needed this look.
Yeah, exactly. I recently learned that I didn't book something that I was really hoping to book for this past season, and I didn't really ask any questions, because that's one thing it's really hard to find out why. Once you audition, your part of the work is done. You're just waiting to hear, and when they say yes, you're excited, you say thank you, and when they say no, you're a little bummed, but you still say thank you.
Right.
Thank you for being seen. But, you know, I found out later that ultimately it was a situation of just my actual size. You know what I mean? Like, I just wasn't quite what they were looking for in terms of the look of the character and the degree to how physical the character had to be. That makes total sense to me. I'm not upset about it. I thought about it, too, and said, I don't want to be running up and down a bunch of stairs. But I like plays where I sit down. Everyone. But you know, those things come up. I think I'm going to turn it over to Jameer, though, about the training. I mean, I've had training. I have a BFA in acting, and so I did train, and I still believe in training all the time. I never think you stop learning as a performer. I think the more you learn, the more the better you get. But what do you think for someone who says, you know, do I need training to do this? It's an interesting question, isn't it?
It is an interesting question. It's not impossible to do,
mm-hmm.
but if you want to be able, if you just say, I want to do it once and cross it off a bucket list, do I have to have training? No.
No. Right? Yeah, absolutely.
But if you want to say this is something that I consistently do and I, you know, continually book things, then to a certain degree, you do have to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I think also it's really good for an actor. Think about just even the adult classes at American Stage. If you feel like you're an actor out there and you want to be known more, you want to be seen more, take a class if you can. If you can manage that, do that. Because, ultimately, you're getting seen by people. You're getting noticed by people. You know, go see the work of other places. You know, that's a big part of it, too, is just kind of getting your name out there any way you can. And it's not always easy. There are a lot of impediments, unfortunately, especially in what we do. There's so many. Even when the industry improves a little bit, there's still things that are like a roadblock for many people wanting to become a part of this. So my advice is to try to get as much training as you can, and to try to, like, you know, speak with professional actors, try to create relationships where you can learn and glean things from them as well. So yeah, it's really hard. Keep doing it, though. Anybody who has a bad audition will say, maybe I don't want to do that again. Don't do that. Keep going. The more you do it, it's like riding a bike, mm-hmm. the better you get.
That's great.
Yeah, it's true. Oh, Jameer, this next question, I don't even know what to say. I want to ask them more questions because I need some. I want them to actually write us back or send us another question. I need to know more about you. But this person has written that they realize this has nothing to do with the podcast, but they would like to know what we think about this, you and me. I've been with my boyfriend for 3 years, and I always felt like we have a pretty good relationship. He's now asking to be open and in an open relationship. It sounds fun in theory, does it really? But I think I'd just be jealous and always looking over his or my shoulder. Am I wrong to tell him no? What do you think about that? We were talking about this earlier off the mic, so we probably won't be as forthcoming. We do have it. This show is for everyone to listen to, a PG rating. But, I don't know. I mean, you know, I have been in a relationship for about 8 years now. I'm about to be engaged. He doesn't listen to this. He has no idea it's going to happen at the end of February, but he has no clue this is going to happen. And our relationship is pretty darn traditional. You know what I mean? The idea of openness is not part of the equation. I don't think it will be ever. But I happen to know a lot of people especially within my community, you know, that have, you know, just people like me, gay men. I know a lot of gay male couples who have open relationships, and they seem to be doing just fine. And I know a lot of them who aren't doing just fine. So I think it is a personal choice for people, but I do think it does open up exactly what this, I keep saying caller, like we're on a radio show, but this, and I want to say viewer, like we're on a TV show, though we are very TV-genic. I think this listener, I think ultimately you were saying too, Jameer, earlier that it's a personal choice and everyone needs to be on the same page about it.
Yes, they do. And right, this, the last part, am I wrong to tell him? It is not a right or wrong thing. It's about your boundaries and what you are okay with and what you're consenting to. And to understand that and not to villainize or make yourself feel bad for choosing what you choose. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you get yourself pulled into a situation where you feel like you have no control and you are a part of something that you didn't have a choice in. Yeah. Like right at work, no one likes to be held responsible for goals that they didn't set.
Right.
Can I be a part of the conversation when the goals are getting set?
Yeah.
Because then you want to hold me accountable at the end for not meeting the goal.
Yes.
So when we're in relationship, we are very tempted to people please.
Yeah.
Because we want to have intimacy, mm-hmm. which is really what we're seeking. How much do I have to give to have the intimacy that I seek?
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, they're willing to accept almost anything to have the intimacy that they seek.
And we don't know this person, but it sounds like that a little bit. They're very concerned about what this could mean. So the best thing that you could possibly do is continue to have more conversations about this. It only works if everyone buys into it.
And to know what it is that you want first. Be very clear. You have to know yourself. What is it that I feel? What is it that I want from this relationship? And then have that conversation of so you know what you're giving and what you're getting.
Absolutely.
And it shouldn't just be give, give, give. Relationships are give and take.
This is not really in the limelight anymore. This is Matthew and Jameer Loveline. Loveline, because we are giving people the real tea. Like we are actually giving people absolute, you know, advice there, and I think it's pretty good advice. You know, every relationship is different.
A lot of people are open to, you know, they don't sometimes like the perception of open relationships, but privately they'll participate, but they don't want to be talked about or known, you know, to have.
Yeah.
We need a safe. If we had a safe society for people to feel safe about these choices and not to be judged about the kind of relationship they want to have, then people could just make choices and not have to worry, oh, well, what are they going to think about the fact that I want to be in an open relationship with this person?
Yeah, I think that's true. It would definitely lead to much more happiness and much more fulfillment. So we do hope that this listener will write us in again and let us know how it's going, because this could be something we further tackle on the podcast. I want to hear what happens next. That's real theater.
It's getting juicy.
It is. That's
the
real
drama.
Real drama. Finally, real drama. We have a great show today. We've got some wonderful guests. It's so exciting. I'm so happy to have you here, Jameer. It's so much fun. And we will be back right after these very important words.
It's Ragtime. American Stage is bringing you Ragtime the Musical in the park. Bring a blanket, a lawn chair, or rent one. Whatever your jam is, we hope you bring it to enjoy this classical musical at Demon's Landing Park. It's our biggest show yet, with a 9-piece band, more than 20 cast members, and a whole lot of ragtime hits. Running April 12th through May 14th, get your tickets today at AmericanStage.org.
We're back within the limelight, and we always have the best guests on here, I think. You know what I mean? Every time. We've had everyone from magicians to the gentleman that takes care of chickens in Ybor. You know what I mean? A chicken sanctuary right there in Ybor. We've had everybody in here. We've had all sorts of wonderful actors and performers, and we're super excited to have two really great guests. We have photographer, and this is a quote I have from my executive producer, Abby, shadiest man in Tampa Bay, Morgan Lashade, which I love that, here with... The wonderful Trail of Trash, a non-binary drag performer right here in Tampa. If you know the Tampa drag scene, you know these two. And today we're going to be talking with them about the drag community here in Tampa Bay, diversity in drag, and all sorts of other wonderful, exciting things. I mean, when you talk about the Tampa Bay drag community, well, there's so many different things you can talk about. It's really its own full episode, Jameer. It really is. It really is. But Jameer, I want to open it up to you to give some questions to these two wonderful folks here.
Okay. I know, you know, the burning question is always, what is your experience within the community, and then what do you do for a living?
Want to go to the trailer first?
Yeah, trailer.
Well, my experience in the community, I started doing drag coming up on 2 years now. And I was a little baby starting out at like 19 doing my thing. I just wanted to dress up and look pretty and sing and dance, but not actually sing. Let's not give me a mic like that. But and then for my day job, instead of drag, I'm a pizza delivery worker.
Oh, so right, very flexible.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do what you need to do. Yeah. I used to do it for Little Caesars back in the 90s. I won't tell you which year because it does date me. But every now and then I would be like, I might just slip a little piece of crazy bread as I was making my way to the next place.
Yeah.
We don't want them to know this, though. I don't want any sort of lawsuits or anything from Little Caesars. So I had a wonderful time there. But yes, pizza delivery, big part of my life as well. How about you, Morgan?
Oh, gosh. What am I to the Tampa drag scene? Besides a nuisance.
No, never.
Oh, no, I'm proud of that. No, my name is Morgan Lashade. I am actually a drag photographer and a show director to the Tampa community. I've photographed many of the Tampa and Central Florida drag performers, whether they be queens, kings, non-binary entertainers, club kids, all that sort of stuff. And then I also fell into show directing a few years ago. I started over at the now closed Flamingo. I've been over at Cityside Lounge. I've done it at various little locations. And now I'm over at a place called Bulge, where they have an event space upstairs. So,
where's Bulge?
Bulge is right there in Ybor. It's actually right down the street on Central. And they're an underwear store, a men's apparel store. Yeah. But right upstairs, there is a very nice-sized event space, and I use that for my own drag shows.
That's amazing. You know, this show is, you know, this show is basically part of the, it's just part of the umbrella of things that American Stage Theater Company does right here in St. Petersburg. You know, just as theater coming back from the pandemic, you know, we're trying to make your way slowly out of it because it ain't over. But theater has a hard time making its, you know, it's been tough. And I feel like the same happened for spaces, you know, for performance spaces, LGBTQ spaces, you know, drag spaces. They were kind of, we've been losing them for a while, and then they pop back up. So it's nice to see that there's a store like Bulge, but they also have this really great performance space, because I think there are so many spaces in Ybor that should be filled with performances all the time.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's just a good area for that, you know. Have you two ever worked together? I'm sure. No? Yeah. Yes, maybe?
We have. We've had on one occasion. We plan to, not anytime soon, but hopefully I can get some good shots from Morgan. But I have performed at her location at Babes and Bulges, mm-hmm. and that was a great show. It really is a nice space. It's really a great space if you're not into all the loud music from a club, mm-hmm. or all the people that are like busted up on you, and sure. you got to wiggle your way through. It's really great to just chill out and enjoy a drag show.
Now, as a non-binary performer, you know, someone might say bio queen, but a lot of those descriptions seem to just, they disappear as soon as they're made up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they don't mean the same things, and we learn more and more all the time. What's that experience been like for you? I know it's very different, but it's also in many ways very much the same.
Yeah, it's the same amount of makeup. It's the same amount of transformation, but it's not the same amount of coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the same, I would say, compared to certain types of drag, it's not the same amount of acceptance,
right.
Because I have gotten like pushback from some places, but especially in Tampa, that's where I thrive. So I really, really love Tampa because they've given me a home to do my thing.
I think that's really exciting. I really do. And you know, you see that a lot. You even see it like on television shows like Boulay Brothers Dragula, Sigourney Beaver. She talks a lot about not only what she kind of had going on the show, but things she had on going on before the show. It's never an easy road for, you know, so I find that really, really exciting. Go ahead, Jameer.
May I ask a question that maybe we're not, that is not here?
Yeah.
It's making me, the conversation is making me, reminding me of speaking to some of my students.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they were speaking about having to make a decision against, I guess, their parents, like being an individual and what that would entail. And I just wonder, you know, I speak from my own personal journey and I spoke to the person, but I just wonder, obviously you all are trailblazers and are independent thinkers and are able to stand on your own and make choices. And I'm sure you've both experienced pushback, and as you speak of this other communities not being welcoming to you. What would you say to your younger self?
Oh, goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, they gave the RuPaul question. Where's the picture of 4-year-old me?
We'll get pictures of both of them and we'll put them up on the website.
Oh, just go on Animal Planet. You'll find a picture. What would I say to my younger self? I would probably say, one, just stop caring what other people think of you. I mean, really, you are growing up as a queer Black male. You are going to get hell from basically every single angle, no matter what you do, whether you're doing right or you're doing wrong. Just stop caring and just do your own thing and thrive and just be the boss that you are. And that's what's going to get you ahead in life. If you keep worrying about everybody else and what they're going to do to you and what they could potentially do to you and what they'll think of you, you're just going to stay in your little bubble and you're never going to go anywhere. And I mean, so far it's working for me.
Yeah.
So far.
No, it is.
So far.
That's so true.
Vodka helps.
Yeah, I bet it does. And what about you, Trayla?
I would definitely, to piggyback off that not caring about what people say is a really big thing. I would, specifically to my younger self, I would say keep going, because I know I had a hard time. If I'd reach a roadblock, I'd be like, oh, this is over. It's not meant for me. This isn't my thing. But as I've gotten older, I've learned that it's not necessarily push back or like causing a problem to stand up for yourself.
Sure.
It is quite simply standing up for yourself and doing what you believe in and doing what you love, no matter what anybody says or what anybody thinks. As long as you are okay with what you are doing and it matches all your morals and beliefs and everything, it's perfectly fine.
That's amazing. Morgan, I've always looked up to you and your work. I think you're fantastic. And I like to follow you on social media because sometimes you let people have it. And I sort of like that. I don't even sort of like that. I love it. You know, I think some people can't really do that the way that you do because you're outspoken. But I do think you also have, I really do think deep down you have a lot of care for not just the people that you're setting straight, but also the community itself. So, I mean, when you do that stuff, I mean, how does it feel to sort of be a provocateur? Just like you said earlier, what you said to your young self, don't really care about any of that. Is there ever a moment that you do think, oh, maybe I shouldn't get involved with this? Or do you say, ah, let's just do it?
There's definitely been a bunch of times where I'm like, you know what, let me just sit in my, you know, vodka crayon and yes, mind my business and let the children scalp each other.
Yes, yes.
And then there's other times I definitely have to step in because whether I like it or not, I am somewhat of a leader to the community.
You are.
And a lot of people look to me for whatever reason, good or bad. And there are times I have to step in and say, you know, this is wrong. This isn't, you know, this isn't acceptable, you know. So I try my very best to stay reserved, and yet when it needs to be said, it needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
If I see transphobia, if I see racism, if I see sexism, if I see anything that's bigoted or a problem, and it's just too hard to ignore it, my loud mouth's gonna go off.
Oh, sure.
Or my fingers are gonna, you know, start typing or whatever. And I mean, sometimes people just don't like it.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, do you really pay my bills?
That's right. That's right. It doesn't really matter. You do have to stand up for people around here. And I think that goes to another question we said. Trayla, has it been hard for you to break into the drag community around here in general? I mean, what do you think about this drag community? Has it always been welcoming? And Morgan, you can speak to that too. I mean,
I'll
think
let
it's
them
hard.
Go first.
Yeah. I think it's hard sometimes to break into any drag community, but I think there's also all sorts of new things to take into consideration now too. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. It's definitely, I started in Lakeland because I'm Trailer Trash, I'm from Polk County.
The name is wonderful, yeah. I love the name.
So I started in Lakeland and I didn't really get a lot of traction there, whether it be my name, my look, my performances, whatever it was, people just weren't picking it up. So I started coming out to Tampa And I started going to So You Think You Can Drag, which is a open stage competition at Southern Nights Tampa. And that's where I got my start. And whether there's a lot more people in that space, so all the haters, they're minimized almost.
Yeah.
So there's people who still don't live for what I'm doing. But there is a lot more people who get their life for Trailer Trash and come out for Trailer Trash.
Period.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You know, I've been doing drag for about 30 years, and, you know, a lot of my work is mainly in cabarets and theaters and clubs where I'm singing live and stuff of that nature. And what's so interesting about it is I feel the same way you do in many ways. Even though I've been doing it a long time, there will be some people who just do not get into it, but there are far more that do.
Far more, you know
what I mean? So you kind of have to find your niche, and I think that's the most important thing. You know, when I was coming up in drag, I was looking up to people like Varla Jean Merman and Lady Bunny and Flotilla DeBarge and a lot of these old school queens. It was a very different ball game, you know, back then. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't even dream of the kind of celebrity you can achieve now and the kind of notoriety you could achieve by doing drag. But I think that's hurt drag a little bit too. I think that RuPaul's Drag Race kind of feel. Sometimes now we expect everyone to be able to have the same kind of drag that you see on TV.
And suddenly World of Wonder is at the door.
Yeah, suddenly they're at the door. And I think it's just interesting. I think a lot of times if you really want to do drag, you find your point of view and you grab a hold of it and you don't let go and you come up with what your brand is. If you ever want to be like somebody else you've seen on TV, it's not worth it. You know,
absolutely.
Ultimately in the
well,
in the yeah.
A lot
scheme.
Of people want to be famous. They don't
they
really
do.
Want to be.
And that's the difference between being in drag and being a quote-unquote famous person, a clout chaser.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think there's an art to this.
Hey, clout is good.
It's
done me well.
Yeah, it has served you
It's done
well.
Me well.
What do you both want to see more of in the drag community? What are some things you want to see? Morgan, you can go first on that.
I like it, like we were saying, diversity and inclusion. I'm the odd one out of all the show directors in the Tampa area. To my knowledge, I'm the only one who has their own drag show, hosted and created, and I don't do any sort of drag. Flats from Target is the best I'm ever going to do.
I've gotten old. I'm
chunky,
doing that now.
Or a chunky boot from Charlotte Russe. That's about as good as it's going to get for me. But I'm the odd one out as far as the show director because I don't do any sort of drag. And yet I try to lead drag shows. I've had several, you know, some have done really well, and some we're still trying to build up. But ultimately, I want to see more diversity. And I want to see true diversity in the fact of don't just put a black performer in here because, you know, it's February 1st through the 28th,
exactly.
Okay?
Let's
exactly, the good old token slot.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Chuck E. Cheese. Or you're putting a trans performer in because you just got called out 2 weeks ago on Facebook because, oh, you haven't booked a, you know, a trans performer. Or you book a male entertainer, but then you pay them half as much as you do the queen, even though they did just as much. And yes, there are some. I could start name dropping, but, you know, the Lord has lit me today.
Thank God,
But no, I want to see true diversity, true inclusion, and it really means something. I know that I don't have the biggest show in the world, and I don't have the biggest platform, but I can genuinely say anyone I've booked, I wanted them to be there because I believe in their talents, I believe in their strengths, and I believe in them as a person. Mm-hmm. So I try my very best with that to be as diverse as possible. There was only one time I got called out for a show. It was my very first show. I did an alternative show, and every entertainer was white. But to be fair, looking back, every single entertainer actually was a trans or a non-binary person.
Right.
Not at that time. They didn't identify as that. But looking back, I was like, oh, okay, all right. Totally not screwed on that one, Morgan. Other than that, it's been very diverse.
How about you, Trayla?
I would say the only, like, the big word in my mind that's popping up is drag kings, because that is something that's hard to find, I would say, in Tampa. There's a few that I know who really make a good name for themselves. I'll name drop real quick. Apollo Infinity is
absolutely my brother,
very much look up to, and he's doing everything. He's, like, running around, making stuff, hosting shows, performing, and there's so many kings who I've seen who I know they can do just as much, if not more, than some of these drag queens. And I want to see a fully rounded show.
Yeah.
I want to see a drag queen. I want to see a male entertainer. I want to see a drag king. I want to see a non-binary performer.
Yeah.
I want to see something interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a real show.
I know you got it. Where's that? Bring it out.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we have them, especially here in Tampa. Trayla is absolutely right. We have plenty of them. The problem is the powers that be, the other show directors, and again, I'm not going to name drop because the Lord's being with me, but there's a lot of them who gatekeep. There's even show directors, and it pains me, and I'm not a trans person. I'm a cisgender person, so I have a lot of privilege being one, but it just pains me when I see that some of these older queens, and they're trans ones no less, that tell some of the trans performers, especially the trans femme ones, oh, well, your drag isn't valid, or you're not drag, or your body isn't valid because you don't have tits, you didn't stuff your bra, or you don't have, you know, cement and bologna stuffed in your chest. Like, that angers me.
Do you think that even though we fight those things outside the community, that we still have, well, I know they always are going to exist, but it's like, oh my gosh, we still have them within ourselves too. We still are fighting those same fights.
Sometimes what happens in the drag community is someone gets a position, they want to hold on to it, come hell or high water, and never let go. And that's how that stuff manifests itself in a lot of ways. They don't want to give it up. And it does bring out, I think, the worst in a lot of people. Because, as you were saying, Morgan, those things shouldn't be like just we're doing this because we're going to virtue signal about it. It should just be the norm. Right. Because you want to see variety in a show. Okay. That's as old as time. That's as simple as can be. You want a show where you see a lot of variety.
I'm tired of seeing the same three showgirls who can't do their mixes.
That's right. Oops. And it's... Yes, exactly. We're not naming them because we don't want any litigation on this show. Listen, Jameer, you don't want to suddenly...
It's my first day and I want to get brought back.
I have nothing.
Might be my last time.
I have nothing for them. I have some wigs maybe they can have. But yeah, it's very true. Where can we... It's what a great discussion. Abby, we need to have both of them back more because this is very exciting. But where can we find both of you online? Where can we see your work? What's coming up? Take all the time and you want to what I call the plugs.
Mm-hmm. Come on, let them have it.
Trayla, go ahead. I'll lead. So all my social medias are going to be the Trayla Trash with two E's, like Megan Thee Stallion.
She's close to all of our hearts, yeah.
Yeah, and then my closest performance is going to be this Wednesday, actually, mm-hmm. and it's going to be at Southern Nights for the Beyonce versus Rihanna semifinals.
Oh my gosh, I'm thrilled about that.
Ooh. And as Michael Scott once said, I am Beyonce always.
And he really felt that. He really did.
Yes.
Oh, I love that. Excellent. What about you, Morgan?
So you can find me on Instagram at Black Rose Photog. They didn't let me have photography. Someone stole that from me. You can find me on Facebook as Black Rose Photography. I know there's a million of them. I wasn't that creative with my name. But you can also, if you want to check out Babes and Bulges, the next one is on February 24th at the event space at Bulge. And I have three amazing entertainers. I have Tania Iman, I have Ripley, and I have James the King Jackson. So, and actually everyone in that cast, I've worked with, done photo shoots with. Ripley's very close to me.
Fantastic, yeah.
And it's a very diverse show, and I just really like putting on Babes and Bulges. I had a previous show called Shade Showcase at another bar.
Yeah.
That does not exist anymore. It is what it is, no shade. It's a lovely retirement home now. It's a lovely retirement home / bathhouse.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, my gosh. I love it. Morgan LeShade. And that's really what it's all about.
It's not shade if it's true.
I love it. Trayla, thank you so much. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes.
You're fabulous. And we're so happy to have you here. And Morgan, I think you do lots of jokes about yourself, but you are a hero to many.
Yes.
And you mean a lot to people. And
yes.
You mean a lot to the community.
Yep.
And it's important you say the things you say and do the things you
aim
do.
Aim higher.
Yes. I love it. But thank you so much for everything you do in this community, and both of you. And Jameer, I guess we're going to go to another break. I mean, we've had quite a show.
So. This is great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming.
Of course.
Here
we appreciate it.
You do, the way you show up in the world. You have no idea the people you inspire.
I appreciate that, babe.
That's very true.
That means a lot to us. We're young and we're impressionable. I'm kidding. Well, I'm not young. I'm not young. They are. I know. But no, we appreciate it.
I love it. And we'll be right back with more In the Limelight after these words. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you all soon with, we have another interview coming up very soon. So we'll be doing that. We'll see you in a moment.
Hey, St. Pete, this is Avery Anderson. I've been living in downtown for 2 years and have pretty much been to every happening spot on the map. Enigma is worth checking out. From the drink specials to the shows, plus it has a full dance floor with some of the best DJs in the Bay. Dance away the stress of the week. Plus, who can beat happy hour every day from 1 to 9 p.m.? Literally 2-for-1 cocktails, shots, bottled beers, and house wines. Every other day, here's your lineup at a glance. Mondays, you can catch karaoke, hosted 9 p.m. to 2:45 a.m. It's well worth the Tuesday hangover. Wednesdays, watch as emerging stars compete in the Show Us Your Talent contest at 11 p.m. Rising Thursdays are the moment, and you can watch emerging queens perform at 9:30 and 11 p.m. Fridays, watch as some of St. Pete's most seasoned drag performers take the stage with shows at 10 and 11:30 p.m. It's quite the week at Enigma. See you on the dance floor.
We're back within the limelight. Jameer had to step out briefly. She's a woman of many things to do. She's very busy. She had meetings, so we're happy to continue to see that she is doing more and more exciting things over to American stage. What a fun time we had today. I am here with a wonderful playwright, Dylan Chitto. Dylan is a playwright whose play Pueblo Revolt is debuting at the American stage Lift Every Voice New Play Festival. It is a period piece following two brothers of indigenous descent going into a revolt against Spanish rule. So a lot going on there. Dylan, it's so great to have you. Where are you calling in from right now?
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm currently calling in from Chicago.
Oh, wow. We're here in St. Pete. It's probably, what's the weather like there?
Oh, it's been cold.
Yes. Yes.
Good old weather down there.
I know you're going to be excited to get here. When can we expect you in St. Pete coming up?
I come in on the 27th for rehearsals, and then I'm there through the weekend for the festival.
Oh, that's so exciting. Dylan, you've written a few plays as an emerging playwright with very exciting stuff. Tell us about what got you into writing, even specifically for the stage. I mean, have you done any other, you can maybe tell us too, have you done any other writing aside from playwriting, or is that mainly your focus?
So playwriting is my focus. What got me into it was, just like an early love of theater. Like when I was 5, my parents brought my brother and I to the Santa Fe Opera. Through the Pueblo Opera program. It's like a program that brings indigenous youth to operas. And so I ended up, just falling in love with theater then. Then in high school, I started writing comic books, actually. I really wanted to be a Marvel comic book writer.
Oh, wow.
And then I went to college, got a history degree, medieval history, very helpful. And ended up going to UNM for 1 year after, where I actually, rediscovered my love of theater and snuck my way into a senior playwriting seminar. And that's actually where I wrote my first play.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, as an indigenous person, how does that play into your writing? I mean, of course, they always say, write what you know. And I know that's a big part of what makes great, evocative sort of pieces. But how much of a part does that play in what your writing is and what you do?
Oh, it plays a huge part. All my plays have indigenous characters in it. I really want to fill the native theater canon with as many indigenous comedies as I can. Too often the native plays are, for lack of a better word, depressing or trauma-filled.
Right, right.
If a typical audience member goes to a theater, it's probably not going to be a native show. But if it is a native show, it's going to be, sad. Show all the problems. But, for me, native people are, the funniest people, and there's, so much joy within our community that I just want to show that on stage, I guess that's how I just see the world. I just want to share the indigenous stuff.
No, that's kind of great because, you really can get more people interested and they can learn more through a comedy, I believe personally. Because it's such, it really does put a magnifying glass on life in many ways. What do our audiences here have to look forward to? They're going to come to the festival. What do they have to look forward to with the play that's part of the festival, Pueblo Revolt?
Pueblo Revolt is, you touched on it briefly at the beginning. It's based on the only successful indigenous uprising on the continent. you know, it follows the two brothers and their experience in it, living through a moment in history, having to hide one's identity, but, you know, in a funny way.
Yeah. I love that. And I know there's a queer storyline, which is really exciting. And I know that can maybe seem rare in historical pieces, but, you know, not really, because, you know, queer people have been around for a very, very, very long time. And I know that that was that probably important for you to get into the story as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm a gay man. And, you know, I'd want to show the brothers as humans and not just historical figures, even though they are, you know, of course, fictional. I think there's times when we talk about history that we lose the humanity of it all, you know? Mm-hmm. Like we have these idealized versions of people in the past, but, you know, they had crushes, they got angry with each other, like sibling rivalries. You know the whole meme or trope that, like, historians will do? It's like, oh, these two men lived in a small apartment, shared a bed, walked down the street together holding hands, they were best friends.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yeah.
And so, you know, I just want to, like, show, like, you know, queer people have been around all this time. And, you know, I actually ended up writing with the queer storyline, you know, like, kind of like a tribute to my queer indigenous ancestors, you know, like the ones that did live out and proud, and the ones that had to hide themselves under, like, colonial rule.
Wow. Any tips for writers coming up, playwrights, you know, who want to submit to the very same type of festivals or get their work produced? Do you have any tips for them on what they're doing, or any tips just on writing in general to fill them in with?
I would say write what's true to yourself, write, you know, with honesty and, you know, and then with your heart, because if you do that, then, you know, it'll come off through the page. And, you know, that's what we all want to see when we go to the theater. We want to experience, like, honesty on stage. We want to see lives and experiences that aren't typical of ours.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, we all have our own story. So if you put that on stage, then, you know, it's perfect mix.
Yeah, exactly. That is also true. Well, thank you so much for talking with us. We're so excited to have you here for the Lift Every Voice New Play Festival. I think this is going to be a favorite of many of the festival goers. And, you know, truth be told, don't let that Marvel thing go. You may be writing plays and Marvel scripts before you know it. Because if there's one thing I know that'll last forever, it's Marvel films. They seem to come out every couple of weeks, right?
It's so true.
Marvel will keep going, so I hope we probably already do in the Marvel canon, but it would be nice to see a queer indigenous superhero, because wow, that would be really fun. And I bet you they're already there, quite frankly, within, yeah, I mean, wow, amazing. I would tune in, and I watch everything they put out. I follow them. Disney has a hold of me, and they will never let go. It's crazy. Dylan, thank you so much for this chat, and we look forward to having you here with us in St. Petersburg. Stay warm over there in Chicago. And
Thank you.
We'll be back with more In the Limelight right after these words.
Hi, listeners. Jameer here. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're a theater lover. Luckily for you, American Stage's Lift Every Voice Festival is coming to the James Museum March 3rd through 5th. We're bringing 6 never-before-produced plays to life with staged readings, cast with local actors. Plus, we're welcoming Chicago dramaturg and actor Regina Victor to the stage as our keynote speaker. There'll be everything from funky fairy tales to queer period pieces, from fantasy to drama. Lots of drama, actually. Stay for the full 3-day festival or snag $25 single tickets only for the plays you want to see. It's all happening in downtown St. Petersburg at the James Museum, March 3rd through 5th. For more information, the lineup, and to buy tickets, visit us at americanstage.org/liftEveryVoice.
We've come to the end of our show. It's always a sad thing. Jameer, I hope you'll be back.
I hope so, too.
I think you will be.
I've enjoyed my time. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's been great. Now, this is the part where we go, oh, wait, one more thing. We have one more thing, but I always end up having more than one more thing. I'm exhausted from the show, but I feel sort of like Rihanna after the Super Bowl. Many people think I'm pregnant when they see me perform. No, it's food, baby. We didn't get to really talk much about that today, but maybe for another, we'll reserve our thoughts about Super Bowls for another time. But I guess my one last thing for today, I am teaching musical theater classes at American Stage, adult classes, and in musical theater. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm hoping that in all my years, I might have some interesting things to talk about. I'm already formulating what I want to do, what we want to try to work on. You know, there's such an interesting thing. You know, what's so interesting about this area and theater in this area is you've got, just take even example for American Stage, has a space inside that's maybe like 180 seats, and then they have that very large Demon's Landing show, the park show. Those are both, you can do musicals in both spaces, and the way they're performed is very different because of the size. So that's a very interesting thing we're going to talk about. But I'm looking forward to that. And of course, everyone is asking me, why are you growing a mustache? What's going on? And of course, I'm about to play Dr. Watson in Hound of the Baskervilles at Freefall Theater. So I'm excited about that. So I am growing my own facial hair so I don't have to glue anything on. But everyone says, oh my God, is that the guy from the diabetes commercials? Funny story. My partner, George, he gets every name wrong of every celebrity. And he said, I like your mustache. You're giving a real Reese Witherspoon vibe. And I went, Reese Witherspoon? I said, are you talking about what? He goes, you know Reese Witherspoon. She was on Our House and in Cocoon. She does the he does the diabetes commercial. I'm like, you're thinking about Wilford Brimley, and you were way off. That's not Reese Witherspoon, dear. Anyway, his other good one was, I said, do you know who Mickey Rooney is? And he said, oh, yeah, of course I do. She was in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So that was Mickey Rooney Mara. So he's way off, way, way off. So George, maybe we'll have George as a guest to give some of his thoughts on things, because it's always wild. What do you have for your one last thing, my dear?
From my one last thing, I am excited about your one last thing.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm going to be in your class.
I'm excited for that, too.
And I'm really excited. Listen, once he get a hold of me, it's over for you bitches.
Look out for everybody.
Once I can hold a show and I can hold my breath long enough to sing a whole
song. That's right.
It's a wrap.
That's right. You're going to be unstoppable. You already are, but you're really going to be unstoppable.
My one last thing. I was privileged enough to be a guest for Black History Teach-In. And one of the questions that the student asked me was, what are some of my words of wisdom?
Oh,
I know. These are middle school kids.
Oh, they really, but they know these days. They're trying to be who they are.
I mean, it was a rough, it was touch and go. You know, it's that awkward stage of like coming into yourself and trying to figure out who you are. And so I have a check-in for my students, and the check-in was sort of the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
And so I will leave you all with the check-in, because adults should be doing this check-in too. But I'll explain it to you. And so what I told the young lady was that everything is built on habits. And you're always, as a child right now, you're constantly being told what to do. You're told when to get up, told when to go to school. When you get to school, the teacher tells you what to do all day. And then you're released to your care people. Then they tell you, you're always being told what to do. So you have to build the habit of being able to sit and listen to yourself and understand what you feel and what you want, and to be able to make decisions for yourself. And so a lot of times, some adults aren't good at sitting with themselves and their own feelings and going through that process because they were raised by parents who always told them what to do.
Yeah.
So this is the check-in. You sit with yourself, and the answer is, how do I feel today? And you can answer the question with, if you could express how you feel, you can just say it, or you can express it as a color, an animal, or a food. So I'll go first and then you go.
Yeah, okay.
Today I feel like cotton candy, mango, and cheetah.
Oh, I love that. So I have to feel, it's a color, an animal.
It doesn't have to be
it could be one of those things, or it could be all of those.
I'm gonna try to do all the things. What are all of them again?
A color, an animal, or a food.
Okay, so for a color, I feel today, because it's a Monday, I feel a sort of gray-blue. I'm thrilled to be here right now, but also had so much to do today, so I'm a gray-blue. Okay. I think if I were a food, gosh, what kind of food would I be? I think I'd be like a cantaloupe. On the outside, it looks pretty rough, but on the inside, things are pretty good, pretty sweet. And then if I were an animal, it would be an elephant, because I never forget.
Very good.
You know what I mean? I think that's really fun. Well, how did they respond to that? I mean, they must have loved that.
Yes, they each went around the room, and some of them gave food, and some of them give colors. And then if people, usually when people would give something or say something, sometimes I would pry and I would say, why are you feeling like orange? What does orange feel like? Right?
Yeah, that's lovely.
What does yellow feel like? And so it's a good way to get kids who sometimes don't have the language. But I use these, even though I use these things with kids, adults,
they need it too.
They need it too.
They need it.
We sometimes don't have the language of how we feel. And so you can use other things to sort of get yourself to articulate and to connect to self-discovery.
I love that. We all could use that. I want people to write in with what they feel. I want people who are listening to this to write in. Let us know how you feel and what your three things are, or even one. I think it's important to check in with yourself. And you want to know, you probably made their day. You know what I mean? They probably won't ever forget that interaction. And these kids in Florida schools, they need all the positive stuff they can get. They really do. And that'll be for a whole other episode.
Show.
It is another show. It is another show. We love it. I thank you for being here. You're the best. We hope to have you back again and again. This is a lot of fun. I'm here with one of the best, Jameer. And this is Matthew McGee. And this is In the Limelight. And we'll see you next time right here. I was going to say same bat time, same bat channel. But that's a 1960s reference from the Batman series, and I have aged myself.
That's all right.
More than I needed to.
You're educating.
Hey,
what I tell it.
That's what I say.
When
yes.
I give the jokes and I have to explain the punchline, I say,
"You gotta explain it." I love it. I love it. Well, that show opened me up to the one and only Miss Eartha Kitt. That's the only Catwoman.
The queen.
The queen, if you ask me.
She was giving out personal knowledge too, how we were speaking on the show. She was known for that video.
Yeah.
A lot of videos circulating of life wisdom that she would share. She didn't play that.
Yes, I love her. Get in the car, Batman. And on that, In the Limelight. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.